Welcome to Heaven's Talk.
Heaven's Talk educates you on Christianity and religious views. It helps you to understand the world around you.
It's very educational and it doesn't shy away from any topic, so whatever you're thinking, it will talk about it.
Heaven's Talk is on. Have you been listening to Heaven's Talk?
Who doesn't listen to Heaven's Talk?
Heaven's Talk.
Heaven's Talk.
You're listening to Heaven's Talk.
Okay, welcome to Heaven's Talk. I'm your host, Rachel Malotta, and our topic is Serving God, Part 2. I have with me two guests. Please introduce yourselves, guys.
Hi, my name's Hannah. What am I?
You are president.
I am president of Radical Youth Trentside.
But of course, you forget, so I don't know.
Awkward. And I go to Nottingham Trent University.
Hi, I'm Joshua Ann. I am a law student at Nottingham Trent University, and I am also the Trentside Voices leader.
Yeah, these guys do great things, and I'm so happy that they are here in Nottingham making a big difference. So we're just going to continue on serving God, the topic of serving God. We spoke about some things like what is service and why it's important. So if you haven't had a listen to that already, please do take a listen before you tune into part two. Okay, first of all, let's listen to your favourite song, Joshua. And what are you listening to?
My favourite song at the moment is It Would Take All Day by Kirk Franklin. This song just, it takes me to that place. It's just such an encouraging song.
You're listening to Heaven's Talk. You're listening to Heaven's Talk.
We love that you listen to Heaven's Talk. Keep in touch with us on social media. On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Heaven's Talk. And on Facebook, just search facebook.com/heavenstalk.
Joshuan, we'll go to you then. Some people out there are simply asking, what is my calling? They're not letting me in the choir because I can't sing. I don't necessarily enjoy greeting people and at the door as an usher or serving food in hospitality. What do I do?
Wow. I think the best thing to do would actually be to pray and ask God to reveal to you what you could do to what gifts that he has given you. There could be some gifts that something that you would think is so simple that could be of so much use in the church. Just maybe if you like music or like yourself, you like media, you could be in the media team and you could help with the technological stuff in the church. Yeah. Just like those little gifts that you have that you think are so small, mm-hmm. but could be really, really useful in the church. I would say just pray about it and ask God to reveal it to you.
So would you say that service brings fulfillment and joy? Should I feel happy or obliged, or what's the kind of feeling that I should get to understand that, yeah, this is my calling?
I think it should give you a sense of joy if it is actually your calling.
I don't know, since your calling, it should make you happy. Like, you will get frustrated at times, definitely. Like, for a fact, you will definitely be frustrated by, you know, different people and things like that. But you should feel fulfilled at the end of the day. You should have it in your mind that you're doing this for God. That's the major part of it. Like, no matter what you do, it doesn't matter. Like, God really doesn't care so much about what exactly the job is that you're doing. He doesn't care for 100 singers, or else he would have made everybody angels. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care for 1 million preachers. He just cares that you take time and think about, what can I do for God? What can I give to God? You know, he's given us so much in this world. So it'd be amazing if we can just give him back something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's just the fact that you can, you think about it, you ponder in your life and you're like, do you know, God, what can I give to you? Whether it be going to the homeless, you know, place every week and just help showing your support, or, you know, putting on a talk show, whatever it might be that you can do, whatever, you know, the Bible says, whatever is laid in your hands to do, do it with all your heart, with all diligence. So whatever you can do, just do.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say, that all that matters is that you're doing it for God.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to add on that as well, that, you know, the parable of the talents that Jesus shared, it was basically illustrating that not all of us have 10 different talents. Mm. And so God requires, he expects differently from every single person, because I might have 10, but then somebody might have 15, somebody might have 2, somebody might just have 1. But the point of that parable was that irrespective of how many you've got, make sure that you use them. Definitely. And it always goes down to prayer, I think, that, you know, in the prayer closet, in the secret place, that's where God comes to you and he anoints you and he sets you to do certain things that will allow him to be glorified and for you to serve him. And it will bring you joy, because God is not a boring boss who will put you on a job that you don't like, you know.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree? Do you
definitely enjoy?
Yeah. Do you enjoy your duties in the Lord?
Yes, definitely.
Great. So Hannah, what would you say to those who have a heart to serve but are restricted to serve? For example, restrictions can be responsibilities of a mother or parents holding, you know, a student back, or somebody who's in the care of their parents who are restricted to maybe not serve because maybe they don't believe in God, or maybe they won't give him the freedom to do what they want to do.
Well, I don't know. I guess with me, I was never, so to speak, restricted by my family, by my parents, just because they've always been in ministry, so they know what it's all about. But obviously there are people in this world who don't, you know, who don't see the importance of this, or let's say your family, they're not Christians and they don't really understand. And in that type of situation, I would say just go to your prayer place and pray and ask God to show and reveal to these people that, you know, this is something important. This is something you're passionate about. And this is how you want to serve God. And trust me that God will speak to them and he will change their hearts and they will understand. And they will also give their lives to Christ and say, you know what? My child is doing this for God. So therefore, I need to, you know, step up my game and do something for God too. So definitely in those type of situations where your family, they don't really get what you're doing, just pray about it and continue to diligently seek God in it, because he will show it to them. And let's not say, don't be disobedient, but as much as you can serve God in that situation, don't be disobedient to your parents and say, okay, do you know what? You say I shouldn't do this. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Just seek God in that situation, and whatever God tells you to do, definitely go ahead and do it. And in terms of not having the resources to do what you want to do, do the small thing you can do. You know, yeah. You may want to put on a TV show, but you don't have the resources to do that. Do whatever small thing you can do. Get a small camera. Use an iPhone.
Yeah.
And, you know, start building up from there. And by God's grace, you will keep on moving higher. Like, never think, oh, I can't do this big thing. It's just like some singers, they're like, oh, if I'm not going to get paid and if I'm not going to be on a big platform singing to many people, then I'm not going to do it. That's not the right attitude to have, because at the end of the day, it's not for us. We're doing this for God. Mm. So even in your small, you know, small group, or even in a family setting, whatever it is, and you want to sing, sing. Just go ahead. If you have that, if you feel you have that talent, use it in whatever way you can, in whatever way, you know, is provided for you, in whatever opportunities you have, just give it to God.
I remember Joyce Mayer one time, she shared a message and she was like, one time I was praying and I was like, God, make my ministry bigger, make it bigger. And then God just came and was like, what if I don't? What if I don't make it bigger? Mm. And then Joyce was like, oh, I didn't think about that. He was like, he was like, would you still do it? If this was it, if this was the end, if this is how big it will ever get, will you still do it? And that's one thing that we've got to ask ourselves. And some of us have got big, big goals. We've got massive dreams. But then sometimes maybe God doesn't want you to reach a million. Maybe he just wants you to affect your world around you.
Yeah.
And that's something that some of us have to accept and just literally be like, your will be done. Mm. Because maybe God may not literally answer that prayer that you say, oh, let me go international. Maybe that's not your ministry. So anyways, prayer answers all, really, I would say. We recently saw Jahaziel in concert last year, didn't we?
Yes.
It was so good. How did you feel about that, guys?
I was so happy, guys.
Yes.
It was actually amazing.
He really, really did kill it. He was just on another level.
And he's a down-to-earth guy.
Oh, he's such, so nice. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And I got to go on stage with him.
Joshuan was like backing him in vocals, man. What song was that again?
Jesus, J-E-S-U-S.
Oh, really? Really, was it? Wow, we really had a lot of fun. I actually have Jesus right here, so we can just play that.
It's like a rapper's got to put out a track with his name in a hook. They're like, you can't put Jesus all up in a chorus, man. That's what they're saying. I keep it simple, I just say this. Listen, man. See, we'll soon be leaving, so best to believe him and just give thanks for the breath that you're breathing. He sent his son to rescue the heathen. He's so strong, even death couldn't keep him. After 3 days, he raised up. Now, he freed us and switched the game up. So, we just gotta give the praise up. Yeah, Jesus, I'ma lift your name up, straight up. You gotta admit it's strange that a man who healed both sick and lame, in return got inflicted with pain, whipped and blamed, stripped and shamed. But hold up, cause in the midst of the pain was a plan for God and man to be connected again. You understand what I just explained? And get your hands up, let's lift this name. Come on. Woo! Yeah, J-E-S-U-S. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Uh-huh. It goes, J-E-S-U-S. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. See, God's grace is the most gracious, great gift. God so loved this world that he gave his only son, Jesus, the Holy One. Through him we can overcome. Holy raising fear. I clutch to God's word like I'm changing gear. Earth isn't my home, I'm a stranger here. So I don't care if they say I'm weird, it's all good. The righteous man's steps are ordered. See, we ain't gotta fall in the traps of falsehood. In fact, when the trials of life get awkward, treat them like wax CDs and press forward. Cause we ain't got room for letting in doubt. He paid for our sins, we ain't selling him out. Only one that you can't get to heaven without. You know his name, we'll be yelling it out. Let's spell it out, come on. Praising the name that's above all names. The only name under heaven whereby any man can be saved. Father, I'm undone. A million and one tongues ain't gonna praise you enough for what your son done. The only one who overcame the enemy. Better than the shrink, his words the best therapy. The same dude who prayed at Gethsemane and by his own got betrayed like John F. Kennedy. You know he came to pay the death penalty, but he wouldn't stay in a grave like Pet Cemetery. Cause the words say he resurrected on the third day so we can get a second birthday. Now let heaven and earth say all praise to Jesus, he's worthy. That's right, I know it might sound quirky, but when the chorus is all Jesus, this is churchy. But that don't concern me, I'm giving praise for his grace and his mercy. Come on.
Jesus by Jahaziel. Yeah, we're getting into that so much because we really enjoyed the concert last November. It was so good. And actually, Jahaziel will be on this show soon. So you guys tune in. So back to our topic, guys. For those who have a hunger to serve, how could you advise them to cultivate a hunger to serve?
Well, for me, that hunger to serve for me may come with spiritual maturity, because I think if you're a new Christian, they might not have that hunger straight away because they're still trying to, you know, find their feet in their new, like, Christian walk.
Yeah.
As
finding their identity as well.
Yeah, finding their identity in Christ. And then as they seek God more, I believe that hunger will, like, be cultivated more and more, and that fire will burn and will just,
yeah,
you know. Yeah,
I agree. You can't have baby Christians leading mature Christians. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come into church, and I've seen some celebrities, for example, they come into church and they try to lead worship because they can sing a note. There is no way you can come and lead worship because you're a good singer, okay? Some celebrities, they just come and say, I want to minister at your church because now I'm turning into, like, you know, a Christian singer. But I'm like, but I'm sure we saw you at this award show and, like, you know, singing this crazy
booty.
Exactly. And then now you want to lead us into worship. It's not about talent. It's about spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
And that's just an example in the worship. Ministry, but other ministries as well. Baby Christians will learn a bit of word and they want to preach.
Like, there's a song, Marley Music has a song called Foolish, and he talks about you got saved about months ago, two or maybe three. Now you're trying to start your own ministry.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work
it doesn't
like
work
that.
Like that. Like, a lot of pastors would tell you how they were disciplined and they were discipled by mature pastors ahead of them, and then they were unleashed into ministry. Sometimes you have to be called and then sent. Mm-hmm. Many are called, but few are sent. Mm. You know, you need to get to that point where you're mature enough to be sent off into ministry. I'm not saying you can't grow in ministry through discipleship. You can, but sometimes service requires maturity.
That's the thing. I don't think a lot of people, they don't want to have to sit there and learn. Mm. They don't want to go through the training.
They want it straight away.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, oh yeah, I can sing, so let me get on stage. It doesn't work like that. It definitely doesn't work like that.
It's like I want to be a solicitor, right? Uh-huh. So first I have to go through university. I have to get the degree, and then I have to go to do placement, and then I have to go to law school. And then I have to do my training contract before I qualify as a solicitor.
Exactly.
Like, you can't just come and expect to just get it straight away. Mm. I can't just, like, start university and be like, oh, I'm a lawyer now.
Mm-hmm. And no. Yourself, Hannah, you preach and teach in Radical Youth. I'm sure the second week that you came to Radical Youth, you were not doing that.
Definitely not. When I came into Radical Youth, I sat there. And I listened, and every so often I contributed, but that was it. I wouldn't even have the nerve, to be honest, to get up and say that I wanted to, you know, preach or teach or anything. It just, you know, it just wouldn't make sense. And you yourself, you would feel uncomfortable if you got up there and said, you know what, I want to teach, because you need, as we've been talking about, you need spiritual maturity to get up there and actually do things like that, because things will come up. People will ask questions and you're going to be there like,
I don't know.
So I don't know how to answer that one. Do you know what I mean? And you need to be able to think on your feet in those aspects. You need to know that the Holy Spirit has led you to be there so that he can speak through you. Because if you're going to a place and you're saying, you know, I'm going to do this just because I feel like I've read on this topic. Mm. Let's say God wants to deal with somebody else's issue.
On another topic.
Do you know what I mean? On another topic, and you haven't read on that. So it's not about what you read. It's not about you at the end of the day. That's, we need to understand, it's not about us. It's about God. And so it's whatever God wants to use us for. And we need to be available in that situation. But then we don't just jump into any old, oh, there's this, we should preach, let's go and preach. That's not what, you know, that's not true service. You're not serving God. You're just, you know, oh, I can preach, I can talk, so let me go and talk. That's not what it's saying. If you're serving, if you're really using your talents for God, you need to have sought God and said, you know what, God, use me through this. Like, it's not for me, it's not for my popularity or anything, it's for you. So yeah,
I agree. And I feel like we live in this microwave generation.
Definitely.
Where we just expect it now. And God is so old school. I can't even explain how old school he is. He is so to the book. I mean, he will not allow anybody to skip class. And I think the culture that we're in at the moment, especially us young leaders and us coming up in church and trying to take platforms where we can lead, I feel like we expect everything to be easy, just how school was easy.
It's not going to be easy.
You study in order to pass, and you just study past papers. You don't study the meat. You just take the, you know, what needs to be just enough to get an A, just enough, you know? And then somebody comes and asks you 6 months later, you'd be like, I don't know, nothing.
I think it's like the story of Moses. I think when God told him that he was going to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, he thought, okay, I'm just going to walk in there and just take my people. But God was like, no.
Nope.
And he hardened like Pharaoh's heart, and all those things had to happen before Moses could finally lead the people out of Egypt. Mm. Like, it's not just going to happen just like that.
Yes. So I would say that for those of you who are out there who've just been saved, or maybe who've been sat in church, especially those newbies in church, sometimes you get so excited and you're like, I love God, I want to serve, I love him so much. And then you're like, I want to do this and I want to do that, and I just want to serve God with everything that I am. And then you meet a pastor who's like, sit down. I've had that. Sit down. And I'm like, no, you are of the devil. You know, and you just don't understand, why should I sit down? I want to serve. But we need to understand that everything is, there's a time for everything. Mm-hmm. There's a time to learn, and then yes. and then there's a time to practice it. There's a time to put it into practice. So I want to encourage you out there who say, those of you who are saying that I want to serve, but I can't, they're not letting me, they're making me sit down and learn. You know, I'm a drummer as well, and I remember one crossover season. Oh my God, guys, this is such a funny story. There was crossover at my church. For those of you who go to crossover services from like the end of the year to the new year. Mm. And I remember it was about 5 years ago or something when I had just started playing. And it was a crossover service. And I was like, I was playing some songs on praise and worship, but I wasn't that good. It was like the praise and worship team were just letting me learn. I was playing like, you know, praise worship, all the songs, things like that.
Oh, okay.
So then I was on the drums and I was like, yes, crossover is coming. This is when everybody gets so excited. It's like 10 to 12 and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be here when everyone's excited. I'm getting ready to play what I've been practicing on the drums, innit?
Mm-hmm.
And then my drum teacher goes, get off. I'm like, no. I was so upset. But then this other guy, the more experienced guy, came so that the hype can be good and the, yeah. all the instruments can be perfect and everything can run smoothly. And I remember last crossover, even this previous one, and I've been playing for the national team in my church, Spirit Embassy, for a while. And I've been playing drums there. And I remember the first time I played for a crossover, like at midnight, I remember being on the drums and just be like, I remember that moment when I was like, no. Yeah. But then at that moment that I'm now playing, it's I've like practiced enough yeah. and I've earned my place mm-hmm. because I've gotten enough practice done to mm-hmm. serve at that position
yeah.
and
yeah.
to be allowed to do that at, right now. So for people who are coming up, I can't let them play until they're good enough, you mm-hmm. know? But then it's not like they shouldn't serve. Yeah, serve, but then you'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. just a little story to encourage you guys. Yeah.
Awesome.
So moving on, have you guys got any experiences as ministers that you could share with us? Like, what kind of impact have you seen in your lifestyle of service that you cherish the most?
For me, because I'm a worship leader, so for me, through my church, okay, so basically my church has once a year. We used to have Sunday school day and then also youth day. The Sunday school day was for up to 13 years old and then the youth day was from 13 onwards till like 27. So it would be like the Sunday school taking over the whole service, so like praise and worship, preaching, everything. So I just remember always being there doing worship and like doing it through when I got into the youth and youth day as well. And I just remember people like saying that they were ministered to, they were really blessed. And I was just thinking, what? Like, why? I was just, you know, I was just singing the song. Because, you know, when you just want to sing.
Yeah.
Back then, it was just singing for singing's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So I realised, oh, okay, this might be what, you know, I'm meant to do. So it made me, like, through the years and more recently, it made me focus on my own worship life, not just like leading people into worship in church. I started worshiping more at home and like really like delving into the Bible. More recently, I've been delving into the Bible because I want to be able to encourage like during worship as well. So, and yeah, and that was like really translating. But when I started to worship more in my own bedroom, that was really translating.
Yeah.
Because you know how sometimes it can seem like forced. Like yeah. the worship can seem really forced. I didn't want that. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be genuine. So I was just like, I have to worship like not just in the church.
Every day, yeah.
Every day. And it was really translating as well. And people would notice as well that my worship was different. So that's just something that I'm still doing now. Just, yeah, because I wanted God to really minister through me and have a deeper relationship with God. So I was just reading my Bible more, worshiping more at home. So that's what's impacted.
What about yourself, Hannah?
I don't know. My experience has been very interesting. As a younger person, I was kind of thrown into leading in my church, so to speak, because my family have been always, yeah, they've been in ministry pretty much all of their lives. And so as a young person, me and my sister, we always had to be the one leading praise and worship, and leading the children or whatever it might be. We've always had to do that. So I don't know, in those situations, I realized that, oh, wow, you know, people are really gaining from this and people's lives are changing. And I think throughout my secondary school life and my sixth form life, I realized that, wow, do you know what, this can make such an impact on people's lives. And I think I took it to God and I was like, do you know what, these people are gaining so much from this, but what am I gaining? And after sitting down and thinking about that, I realized that I was giving out what I didn't have myself, and I was, you know, serving God. Yeah. Well, I thought I was serving God, but really I had not even, you know, sat down in a position to learn from God myself. I hadn't opened my word to receive from God to impact my own life rather than just, you know, giving out to other people so that their lives can be impacted. So in that place, I realized that my knowledge was very capped. And from when I realized, when I gained that revelation and that understanding, I started delving into the word, and God showed me things that made me realize that my life can be so much more different, can be so much better if I can just sit down with him and understand what he has to say, say to me, myself. And my life has changed from there. And when I minister, when I speak to people, I realize that it's not me speaking. It's not from me, it's from God. And because I have gone back to my closet, as Joshua was saying, I've gone back to my closet and I've worshipped God in my closet. I have spoken to God in my closet. I've read the word in my closet. My life changes people's lives in that. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Yes, I'm the vessel, but God is using the things he has taught me to teach other people. Yeah. And I think that's what it's all about. It's not about what you can say. It's about what God is using you to say. Do you know what I mean? So I think basically I'm a work in progress. That's the honest truth of the matter. Yeah. That is the sum total of everything. Yeah. I'm a work in progress. God is teaching me to teach others. He is pouring into my life. He's blessing me so that I can bless other people. And I think the important factor is to know that you yourself, you're being blessed, because often we can be in the boat where we want to just serve, and you don't realize that you're just pouring out everything and then you become empty.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey God, I don't know what to do now. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Often so many ministers, they get to the point where they've given out everything they possibly have and then they're lost.
Yeah.
And then they fall back into sin and we're like, wait, what happened? Mm-hmm. It's because they haven't got anything. They haven't been enriching themselves. They haven't been taking in the word. So my thing is just make sure you're taking in the word so you can give out the word as well.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree. I remember one time, actually, I've grown up in the choir. I remember one time where I just had to stop. I had to stop because I got to that point where you're saying, Hannah, where, you know, you get to a point where you're like, wait, what am I getting?
Mm-hmm.
I'm empty. And then you start looking at God and you're thinking, God, am I supposed to be doing this? And then you start questioning yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, God, is this for me? And then God's like, yeah, I've called you into that, but you're not spending time with me.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Most of the times we worry about ministry, but we never worry about our relationship with Christ. But then the Bible says, come to me.
Mm.
You know, Christ is calling you to him. And then from that place where you are yoked with Christ, you minister to the world through partnership. So whatever you have to do, you do it through partnership. But then if you're not dedicating time daily, you know, it says lay down your flesh daily. It's not weekly, it's not every Sunday, it's not monthly, it's daily. If you don't manage to do that daily and you go around serving and you go around ministering, you'll end up dry and empty.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself not enjoying what you've truly been called to do because you just don't know how to manage it. So that's the maturity, really, because as you grow in ministry, you see that, wait, this is what I need to do. And the secret place is the place of mature believers. That's because as you grow in Christ, you know that I really can't survive without the secret place, because Jesus himself used to wake up and he used to go and pray in the mountain every single morning. Every single time that the disciples would be like, where's Jesus? Like, he's in the mountain. He's praying again. You know, and then that's when the disciples are like, Lord, teach us how to pray. Why are you always praying? Mm-hmm. And then that's when, you know, you see that kind of, that lifestyle that Jesus lived, and we think that we can make it as ministers, although Jesus was a minister and he was the minister of all ministers, yet he spent time with God.
Exactly.
And why do we think that we're exempt from that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the maturity right there. So I challenge you guys out there who really want to serve but can't or are being limited. I challenge you, just put yourself in the secret place every single day and see how God will elevate you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Without a doubt. And also, one thing I want to say is that every single role has responsibilities.
Yep.
So no matter what kind of role you're trying to cry out for and you think that one doesn't have responsibility, it does.
It does.
It does. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that God wants to prepare you for in the process. So don't skip class with God. We'll catch up with you. But that's all that we have. Okay, one last thing that I wanted to ask though is does things get hard at all in ministry? And if they do, how do you deal with that for those out there who are ministers, who are serving others?
Things get real hard. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example of where it can get hard. You know, I don't know. Often, again, I bring back the fact that we're all humans and we're not perfect. We have different characters. We have different personalities. You work with different people. And there will be people who will upset you at times. And again, it comes with maturity, but you need to learn how to deal with those kind of people. Because often you will think, oh, this person's hurt me. This person said this to me. This person spoke to me rudely while I was preaching. Or do you know what I mean? There are many things that happen. Or these people didn't respond to me well when I was preaching. They didn't clap. You know, all of these things might happen. And in that, you can get disheartened and be like, nope, God, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in that, we have to learn through maturity that people aren't going to respond the way we want them to.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? We're not doing it for the people. Again, we're doing it for God. And in those disheartening times, you have to learn to pick up your cross and just keep on walking. You have to learn to lay it aside. You have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn all of these different principles, these Christian principles, and just continue walking with God. And he will teach you slowly by slowly that it doesn't matter what people do. It's about God. And yes, disheartening times will come, but they will. It's just for a short period of time. Yeah. It will pass. It will definitely pass.
Yeah, the one scripture that I just keep thinking back to is, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us.
Mm.
That's Philippians 3:14.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like when, because as a leader, like you said, the responsibilities, and you have to make so many sacrifices. Yes. And at times you're just like, oh my gosh, why do I have to do this? I don't want to do this anymore. And that's just what comes to my head. Like, I press on to reach the end of the race. That's it. Like, there is an end and there is a prize at the end that we're reaching for. So we just got to bear that in mind.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for spending time with us here at Heaven's Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have had so much fun together, and I hope you guys enjoyed.
Definitely did.
I will definitely be calling you back for another topic.
And we will definitely be here.
And just a refresher, how to get in contact with you guys.
At It's Just You Anne on the Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, and my Facebook is Hannah Rose Daniel, and my Twitter is I Am Purple, or Purple I Am.
Great. And you know myself, guys, Twitter is @Rachel_Molotta. So get in contact with me, send me song requests, send me any topics that you guys would like to cover. And I do have a song request this week from Scotland. It's called One Thing Remains by Jesus Culture.
Oh, love that song.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Hope you guys enjoy it.
You listen to Heaven's Talk. Keep in touch with us on social media. On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Heaven's Talk, and on Facebook, just search facebook.com/heavenstalk.
You've been listening to Heaven's Talk. Be sure to tune in again next week.